Today's program is brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheese that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network, broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues, that's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
And welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Souther Teague. Damon Bolte is in California right now. He's doing he did a pop-up with or bar takeover, guest shift, whatever you want to call it, at Polite Provisions with Eric Castro. You know him, right? I'm going to read a quick announcement first, and then we'll talk about what we're doing on the show today. Are you a Heritage Radio Network member yet? Members not only support the production and broadcast of this show, but also comes with some perks. All current members are invited to our new monthly happy hour series, Books and Brews. Join us on April 12th at Three's Brewing at Franklin and Canton Greenpoint, with host of Eat Your Words, Kathy Airway, and her new book, The Food of Taiwan. Meet other members, snag a signed copy of The Food of Taiwan, and enjoy some beer from HRN business member Threes. Donate at heritagenetwork.org/donate to get your exclusive invite today. That sounds awesome. You should do that. All right. In the studio today, I got my good friend and colleague, Jason Luttrell of Critical Mass.
Hi.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm well. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
Thanks for coming on the show and being in the studio.
I'm kind of bummed Damon's not here. I miss his radio voice.
What am I, chopped liver?
You're okay. You're adequate.
Yeah, adequate. That's I think we put that on my tombstone. He was adequate. He lived up to the expectations we had for him. So let's talk about you for a minute. You've been on the show before, but it's a long time ago. I looked through the archives. I think you were episode 8.
Yeah, it was way early on in the show. That's for sure. And that was back in the old days.
I will point out that you showed up late. They had already started the show without you, and you ran into the studio.
Really? You're just going to throw that out there, like that first thing?
Yeah, well.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Is this being recorded? Because, you know, years down the road, we can probably go back to this and maybe point out that I was on time this time.
Yeah, you were early. You got here before me.
That's right. Dude, it's Roberta's. You come early for Roberta's.
For pizza.
Yes, you do.
I get it every week. Is it weird to say I might be getting tired of it?
No.
Weekly pizza? I think I've gained 10 pounds in the last year.
Oh, my God. So worth it. So worth it.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about you some. Who is Jason Luttrell?
Well, I'm currently the fourth best USBG New York president that we've ever had.
Wow. Fourth best.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's
how many have we had? Four?
Yeah. When I was president, I was the second best.
Got it.
Yeah. But now I run a company called Critical Mass. We are very proud of our people. We like to produce events. We like to develop strategies for brands coming to market, and we like to, you know, do fun things with fun people.
When you say produce events, you do like really massive things, right?
Yeah, we've worked on some pretty big projects. We've done things like Tribeca Film Festival. We've done a few things at Tails. We're expecting to have a really big year this year with a couple different things. We're working on an event on May 14th, actually. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah.
But that's why
we're here.
That's going to be a big punch event that we're excited about this summer. So
punch? You going to make some punch?
We're not going to be making a punch. No. No, we're going to let the experts do that. We're inviting some of our friends from some bars around town to make some punches.
What's the event? What's it all about?
Talk it up.
This is why we're here.
Okay. It's going to be on Mother's Day, May 14th from 4 to 8 p.m. at Pier A. And it is the
get your mom punch drunk.
It's the New York Punch Invitational, and so we invited some friends to come out and make some punches for some consumers. You know, kind of show us to show them kind of what the style is, and you know, hopefully we have a special guest that's an expert on punch. But yeah,
you know this guy Wondrich? He wrote a book about it.
Oh, that's crazy! That's crazy. We should probably reach out to him.
He's a good guy.
Yeah,
he'll come out.
Yeah, but we're excited about it.
I'm thumbing through my email right now. I don't see my invite. It must be on the way, though.
Is this live? Mark, there. Do you guys want to send Southern an email right now? But yeah, no, we're excited about our team. You know, we're growing very, very slowly and strong, and we've expanded our team every year. And, you know, we develop our business based on personal relationships, reputation, and just treating people right and doing good work every day.
I think you do good work. I've worked with your team in the past and expect to work with you again.
I hope so.
But just for, you know, the audience and the listener, explain a little bit more about what Critical Mass does. Like, you said a lot of fun words, but like, what does that mean, brass tacks? What's your daily routine?
The daily routine, my individual routine is a lot of admin stuff. You know, it's a lot of just kind of nuts and bolts of running a business. Just making sure that the bills are paid, making sure that everybody that works with us gets paid properly and quickly. But we also develop, we do a lot of events. So we do off-premise sampling for brands. We do marquee level events for major trade events. We also work with a couple media outlets and a couple consumer products. I'm not sure if they'd prefer to be mentioned on the air, but
sure.
We do a lot of stuff. We don't really advertise what we do, but we're very, very busy, and we're, you know, again, like, we just do good work every day.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
I'm happy that you're busy.
Well, thank you. It's good to be busy. It's good to see something grow from nothing. I mean, the reason we called it Critical Mass in the very beginning was because we like to see small things kind of develop into bigger things, and we like to think that we put the amount of energy that it needs to grow. So, like, we're basically watering a million little plants.
That's great. Is the business model then based around the idea of, once they get big, you let them go and you move to another small one?
If that's their wish, yeah. You know, we've worked with a lot of different people, and some of them have grown bigger than us, and that's totally fine. I mean, that's kind of the function of what we do. But the main aim of our business is honestly to develop individual competencies within our company and develop. If people need something to if they have an idea, if they want to accomplish something or do some kind of piece of business, then there's no resource that we withhold from that.
That's like, amazing.
We make sure that they have everything they need.
That's amazing. So you're like basically just a logistics group.
You
make the things happen.
That's a good part of it, but we operate mostly on destination points, as in what? How do we reverse engineer the thing that we want to happen? So it's like if we or a client sees a vision of what they of something that's amazing, then we say, okay, all right, here's the deadline. How do we reverse engineer that? How do we figure out step by step what it takes to get to that point? And then we make a plan and then we stick to it. That's pretty much it.
How did you move from, you mentioned you were USBG president. I'm the USBG president now.
Nice.
How did you move from being a bartender, being the president of our club, and then to this? Like, what was the, I don't understand the steps. Because you were tending bar at great places, Death & Co., to name just one that was amazing.
And Randolph. You
ran the door at Death & Co. and you had your broken
limb. They were good enough to make sure that I had a job. And you know, that loyalty went both ways for sure.
Yeah.
I was working at Death & Co. and I was riding my bike and a cab made a weird turn. And I made a turn into the cab and I fell on my elbow and it was bad news. And I couldn't work for 6 weeks.
Yeah, cab
and
wins.
So, yeah, cab wins. Cab wins. You know, if I ever see that cab again, you know, then... I'll say hi, because what do you say to that? I mean, it's like they're just doing their job, which is to hurt bikers.
They're pretty good at it.
So they let me run the door for 6 weeks while I was healing. And, you know, I feel very proud of what Death & Co. has become. And, you know, I'm very excited that they've been able to celebrate 10 years and just still continue to excel and lead the business and as far as creativity and, you know, developing really cool ideas.
Yeah.
To answer your question, my mom always told me that I would be a great bartender or a great shrink. I didn't like school much, so I decided to go to 10 Bar. And like, this was after a little stint in the music business. I was in radio in LA for a little bit. I was a tour manager for a band for a couple of years, but I just worked at the dumpiest dumps that you could possibly work at. To get experience. And of course, I had to lie to get that experience.
Of course.
Or stretch the truth, as we said, on Bartender at Large.
Yeah.
Thanks, Eric. But no, I totally lied. And I said that I worked at places, but the key is to back it up and to like really learn your craft. So worked at dump after dump after dump, and then eventually got offered a job at the Randolph, which was a very, very important part of my career. That's when I like really got to take things seriously, had great mentors there. And then I was offered a job at Death & Co. And what do you say to that? I mean, you say yes.
Hell yes.
You say yes, and yes is the answer. What do you need? And then just show up until they either file a restraining order against you or give you a shift. And so 6 weeks later of training for training with like just monsters, then I finally got my first Tuesday and Sunday shift, I think. But yeah, and I worked there for 2 years, 2.5 years. And then people were asking me to write recipes, which oddly enough, I'm not incredibly prolific with recipes. Anybody at Dathinko will tell you that. I just kind of started a business while I was during the day.
And like then, just some side consulting kind of thing?
Side consulting, a lot of recipe stuff. And I just said, okay, well, I'm going to start a business. I'm going to file an LLC and I'm going to get a bank account and I'm going to turn this into a side thing, you know? And that way, you know, things can, you know, I can work at this job that I love, that I keep on learning at, and then still kind of get the benefit of the benefit of that knowledge by helping brands produce recipes and like kind of engage the trade and consumers. That turned into a full-time job about a year later. This was in 2010 that I started the company. That turned
into... started Critical Mass in 2010?
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. I had no idea it was that old.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
That's great.
Now we've got, you know, 5 people working with us pretty much full-time. You know, I really love what it's become. I've got a great partner in Mark Drew. He's my work wife, and we bounce ideas off of each other all the time. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't, but we're always work wives at the end of the day. It's about building slow and strong. That's all we really wanted.
Yeah, that's my business model as well. Like always, you know, evolve. You know, mm-hmm. Like you've been to my bar, like it's changed over the, you know, we just turned 6 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
Yeah, 6 years old.
That's amazing.
It's crazy. I didn't even, it sneak attacked me. I wasn't paying attention. Someone asked me in the end of February, they were like, how long has this place been here? And I was like, oh, and on the 21st of March, we'll be 6 years old. And they were like, oh, that's next month. And I was like, whoa.
That's so great.
But the evolution, you know, we look at when we play this game, when we're working together, we play this game, like, remember when? And it's like, oh, remember when the door was backwards, right? Remember when we didn't have a glass rack? Remember when, like, all the things that we remember that have evolved? And and again, we all look at the place and we say, and you probably think about the same way about your business, if we just started with everything we have today, it probably wouldn't have worked.
Yeah.
It had to, like, kind of evolve, like, crawl out of the mud, you know, then slowly stand up, take a few steps and walk, and now we're running.
Absolutely. And honestly, we wouldn't be where we are today if we didn't make a bazillion mistakes. So it's like now we feel like we're
mistakes
we're
are the number one thing we make.
Absolutely. And it's like that's our number one product, our number one commodity. But it's like, you know, like we've made so many mistakes over the years that we're, you know, we're in a spot now where we've got enough experience where we don't make the same mistake anymore. And so we're able to expand and grow and kind of develop new people to work with us. And
how do you do that? You said you don't really do any advertising, and so how do people know to come to you? How do you garner new clients?
mostly Mark Drew. He spends literally 3,000 minutes a month on the phone. That's 3 days. He spends 3 days a month on the phone. But he hustles. You know, we've got a great reputation. We're very proud of the way we operate, our ability to communicate with clients and communicate their needs to other people. So it's just, you know, just like any other business, just like Amore. Does Amore advertise?
No.
But people go.
I mean, I do this show every week.
Amore Imago on 6th Street between First and A.
Thank you. That's great.
You got it.
We can use that again. We record.
Sorry, I'm trying to be Damon Bolte.
Yeah. We missed that deep baritone.
I know, right? It's so sexy.
Yes, that's true. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. It's mid-show. We're going to hear from the Milk and Cheese Board from Wisconsin. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some liquid that you brought for us to drink. I see it right here on the table.
Yeah, dude.
All right, so we'll be back in a sec.
Today's program is brought to you by the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Wisconsin produces the world's best cheese, period. Why? Lush grasslands, glacial water supply, fourth generation cheesemakers, combining old world tradition with the new ideas and highest standards. The very best milk. What do you think of when you think of Wisconsin cheese? For me, I think cheese curds. Delicious, fresh cheese curds or deep-fried cheese curds. Cheese curds literally any way, anytime, any place. I think about Andy Hatch and Upland's Cheese Company, the operation behind the Pleasant Ridge Reserve cheese that's literally America's most awarded cheese. I think of the deliciously stinky Limburger and its long-storied history. I think about Raleigh's Dumbarton Blue, a perfect blend of English-style cheddar and notes of blue. I think of Emmy Roth's Grand Cru Sirchois, which was named 2016's World Champion at the World Championship Cheese Contest. Wisconsin is like the world champion of cheese, and once you start reading the list of cheeses made in Wisconsin on their website, you can see why. The Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board is a nonprofit organization funded entirely by Wisconsin's dairy farm families. Read more at eatwisconsincheese.com. And as soon as you're done listening to this podcast, eat Wisconsin cheese. It's a no-brainer.
It is a no-brainer. Eat Wisconsin cheese.
Yo, all I want is cheese right now.
I know. Jack Ansley made it sexy, didn't he?
I'm so sexy. I'm like a little hot under the collar right now. Cheese is dope.
Well, cheese is the thing. What we need to go with some cheese that we don't have is some juice. What do you got there? Oh, I love that sound.
I had to get that on the mic. So what I'm pouring right now is Yaguara Oro Cachaça. For those of you who don't know what cachaça is that we kind of call it rum's uncle because it is the precursor to what we understand as rum. But the biggest difference between cachaça and traditional rum from around the world is that cachaça is made with fresh pressed sugarcane juice rather than the byproduct of sugar production, which is molasses. So, you know, they're not better or worse, but this is just different. And it's a process that has been around since a lot longer than what we understand rum to be right now. But to draw a comparison, Martinique rum is also made in the same way.
Sure.
I wanted to work with this company because it's a very romantic brand. I work directly for one of the owners of the company. It's a very small company, a small family-owned company, fifth generation blenders and distillers. It's just a great company to work for because it's very sustainably produced.
What? You're in the bottle.
Yeah.
Yaguara.
Yeah. So
just for everybody listening, that's Yaguara. Yaguara. Cachaça Oro. What's the Oro mean?
Oro means gold.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So this one is
got a little age on it.
Yeah, it's got a little wood on it, which is not necessary, but it's but this one is quite delicious. It spends 1 year in a wood called Cabre Uva, which is one of the indigenous woods that you can use to age cachaça. And then it spends another year in scraped and toasted bourbon barrels. And then that is taken out of that barrel and blended with a little bit of Ambarana. Ambarana is a very
different wood. Yeah.
Very, very different wood. Another reason that I really like working with this brand is that it's very sustainable. It's organically produced, although this brand in particular doesn't have the organic stamp, but it all comes from the same place. So it's very, the cane is chopped by hand and then juiced and fermented within 1 day. Very small batches, 750 liters are run through only once. And then we only use the hearts and it yields about 120 liters of hearts. So the hearts are, it's not the alcohols that you don't want in the heads and the tails.
Sure.
But what I love about this is that none of it's wasted. So everything gets used. So the alcohol from the heads of the tails, it may get redistilled and then used to fire up a tractor or something like that.
Oh, right.
The bagasse or like the organic matter that's left over from pressing the sugar cane gets dried out and that gets used to fire the still or something.
Wow, cool.
You know, that's not unique to Yaguara. I mean, it's
just the way they did things, right?
Well, it's a very economical way of doing things. When you're out in the sticks, it's important to operate very efficiently. But this isn't unique to Yaguara. Like, I have to throw it out there. Like, artisanal cachaça is not only something that's increasingly people are becoming increasingly interested in, but it's also I think it's a very important category to understand. Anybody who's serious about cocktail, like, you'd be surprised. Like, people that I know and respect know very little about cachaça, but I think it's just something that's very important for people to understand, not only because it's delicious, but it's widely understood to be this like very big industrial operation, and it's not necessarily like that.
Right. Yeah, I've heard of a bunch of other brands who are practicing the same way that you say, but that I feel like for us, you know,
privileged folks who live in America. We think of that as like, oh, these guys are, you know, kind of turning back the clock and doing it this natural, the best way. And that's just the way they've always done it.
That's the way they've always
done it. We're trying to look at our shit and fix things. They're just doing things the way they've always done things.
Yep, absolutely.
Which was right from the beginning.
Totally. It's like...
And because it made sense both economically and just sheer workflow, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We chop the thing, we squeeze it today, we permit it, we do it today, and then we start again tomorrow, right?
Like they say that there's like something like 30,000 stills in Brazil. Who knows if that number is accurate or not? But the way I understand it, it's like similar to mezcal production in Oaxaca. It's like not everybody has a licensed still. But a lot of people have.
Wait, people are doing things illegally?
Perhaps. I don't want to sell out some Mexican farmers or anything, but or some Brazilian farmers. But yeah, totally. And so it's like you have a piece of land, and sugar cane is in the grass family, and it just grows naturally. Does not need irrigation. Doesn't even need treated soil. I mean, it just grows. It's a very resilient plant. And it's the same thing with kind of wild agaves growing in farmers' land in Mexico. If it's there, and if you don't need to eat it or to sell it, you make mezcal with it.
Sure.
You know, and it's very similar. From my understanding, it's very similar to what happens in Brazil. And there's a lot of family pride. So my boss is actually from the Meningal family, and they've been producing sugar for five generations in Brazil. And so this is the first time that this product has been available in the United States, and it's been here for 3 years. But yeah, I was first taken by the story, then the juice was just that good, and yeah. This is the first time I've ever had a traditional brand ambassador job, you know. Although I call myself a cane advocate, but I've never considered doing this kind of work for anybody else. So
it's cane advocate.
Yeah,
sounds dirty. Well, okay, I'm smelling this stuff right now. I get a lot of like briny notes. Kind of smells like olive-y.
Mm-hmm.
That's typical of cachaça, right?
There's a pot, yeah, totally. Like kind of lemongrassy, like a little,
yeah.
there's a particular children's breakfast cereal that has been mentioned in describing this. Children's I wonder if you can get it.
Well, I don't eat cereal, but because I don't drink milk.
You don't drink milk?
No.
Really?
Yeah, milk's
great. Do you eat Wisconsin milk that's been processed?
Only when it's cheese, yes. Sorry, milk and cheese, guys. I don't drink milk. In my defense, I don't drink anything but water and alcohol. All right.
No, I've heard stories about you with juice, though. Like, anytime that there's juice available, like, you'll dust it because you just never
encounter
it.
If it's in a drink, that's right, yeah. I'll crush it. I'm trying to think about cereals now. No, I'm not going to get it. Also, I got a little cold. You can hear it. My nose isn't up to par right now.
Yeah.
What do you got?
I've heard this tastes like Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh, tastes like. I was just smelling. I hadn't tasted yet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, get in there. But your colleague, Jane, she was just like, wow, this is like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And I was like, whoa,
there's
you were totally right.
Absolutely a cinnamony, bready thing on the backside.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, totally. So this is our...
Who said that? Jane Danger?
Jane Danger. So this is our we call it like aged three times because it's, you know, it's got three different kind of woods on it. But this is our oldest expression. We also have a blend, which is the blue and white bottle that most people have probably seen, mm-hmm. or some people have probably seen. I don't know. And then we also have a quote unquote unaged one that spends 8 months in steel.
Right.
But yeah.
Do you use terms like the same terms that they use in the rum world? This has, you know, hogo. Is that true? The funk?
I never really got hogo on it.
No?
No. I mean, hogo is a yeast thing.
Yeah. I didn't think of it until I tasted it and I got that bready note on the backside.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I think of hogo, I think like you know, turn your face inside out, like Jamaica, like Wagwan. This is turning my face inside out. Yeah, I mean, I guess I get that now. I've spent so much
don't
time
get it because I said so.
Well, no, I
don't get it because I'm your elder.
I'm very impressionable. Very impressionable.
Yeah, I can tell by looking at you.
Yeah.
You're easily led astray.
Totally.
That's how you got here today.
Totally. But but it's really exciting working with, you know, working with this brand and working in the category in general. Like we're like with Kimmy, with Nova Fogo and Pete from Avua, like we all talk together. Like we're all very excited about the category.
Well, I was at a talk just the other day with you and Kimmy, led by Pete and Dave Wondridge. That was great.
Yeah.
Talking about just the category as a whole.
That dude is amazing. Truck nuts.
Truck nuts. That was my big takeaway. That was my big takeaway. And you know what? Because he talks like that, you remember his talks.
Yeah.
Dave Wondridge kept referring to the cachaças of the sort of center of the country as like the rednecks, the sort of truck nuts.
Yeah.
Like the thing we're sort of embarrassed by, but that we kind of secretly love.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah, no, it doesn't take very much time to get out. I've never actually been to Brazil, so I gotta throw that out there.
Oh, you haven't been yet?
No, I haven't been yet.
How long have you been working for these guys?
About 4 months.
Okay, well, I'm sure they'll get you down there.
Yeah, no, like we're looking for
January. Bring me back a bottle of Brazil Burn when you go.
We'll do. No, we've got some, I should have brought this. We've got this like family reserve stuff that's never going to be released, and it comes back in a, Thiago, my boss, he brought it back in a wine bottle with a cork in it, like smuggle it into the country. Oh shit, I probably shouldn't say things like that, but
one can spell his name.
It appeared
they can't catch him.
We've got this beautiful like really old aged cachaça that's like will never be sold anywhere, and it's and that's kind of what put me over the edge as far as like wanting to work with these guys. It's like it's very romantic.
How'd you get locked into this? They approached you?
My beautiful wife Brittany introduced me to Thiago.
Punch it above weight, buddy.
I know. I hope you feel better, boo.
Brittany's
unfortunately really home really sick right now.
It's this crazy weather, man. I got it, too.
It is beautiful today.
But, you know, up and down, rain and shine, cold and warm.
Yeah, it's like the Vegas syndrome, or Vegas where you, like, go in and out of the,
exactly.
The crushing heat to the air conditioning and you just get killed.
Understood.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, she's down. We're going to get her on the show soon.
Not for long. She's going to beat this thing.
Yeah, of course. How'd you get locked into these dudes?
Brittany made the original introduction with Thiago. We talked about it for a while. We met, you know, Thiago is just a genuinely very nice guy.
Super nice guy. I've met him many times.
Yeah.
I did the waxing thing with you.
That's right. Oh, my God. That's when I first met him.
That was like 3 years ago.
That was a while ago. So we met at the waxing thing. We had our nether regions waxed.
Yes.
That was the most awful experience of my life.
I see Jason and I and a dozen other gentlemen for charity. We got Brazilian waxed due to this company, Yaguara Cachaça.
Yeah. And it was
pretty sure of everybody who did it, I'm the only one who continued to do it for a long time.
That is so weird.
I liked it.
That is so weird.
My lady friends liked it as well. So
what? Wow. No, it's the most awful thing. Like big ups to those who get Brazilian waxes and like
who else was involved? Castro, Eric Job,
Dev Johnson,
Giuseppe,
Leo. Leo Robichek got it.
Chris Lauder. Although
they
weirdly made Leo and Chris step out. The Nomad, remember? Like they had to do it, and then they couldn't be part of it because the Nomad was like, no.
What?
You don't remember? They weren't in the calendar, man.
No.
We were in the calendar. They weren't in the calendar. There was a calendar. It was crazy.
Yeah, no, there's a physical calendar. So, like, you know, our political careers are definitely over.
You can go to Creative Drunk Twitter. I'll post a photo of my picture from the calendar.
Yeah,
I'm wearing nothing but my postal hat.
Yeah, it was all shot by the resident goddess of photography in New York, Gabby Porter.
Gabby Porter.
Yeah. So she is consistently able to get whatever she wants out of me, and I think I posed with just a beach ball.
Yeah, you had a beach ball. Dev Johnson had a shaker. Anyway,
yeah.
So that's when you met these guys.
Yeah, so that's when we first met, and you know we were in contact like the whole time. But you know, like just in the best interest of the cause, we were absolutely willing to wax our balls for this, regardless of how much. Like, and it's not even the pain of getting waxed; it's the weeks after when it grows back. That's the real difficult part.
My hair is so fine. I was fine.
You were fine. Okay.
Like when the lady went to do the first pull, I was like, just give me a countdown of three for the first pull. She goes 3, 2, 1, pull. And I was like, I'm fine. Go for it.
Oh my God. Okay. So you're really into pain.
I remember, I'm not as hairy as you guys. I remember how red, Job's skin was. Remember Eric Job's skin was so red.
No, there was blood involved. It's awful. This is like, it's like masochistic. It's awful. I don't know. I don't know how folks do it all the time. I mean, like,
Two sides of the fence here.
I get like little shivers when I see it. Like, I saw a sign in the East Village that said for back waxing. I was like, no, that's awful.
Well, it was for a good cause, and this is good juice. So I'm drinking some more right now. It's making me feel better.
Good. Good. I'm glad. It's grandpa's medicine.
And how do you, thanks, man. How do you like, so now you've gone bartender, president USPG, critical mass in your own business, and now you're also working for another company doing brand work. How do you like that? Well, and what's your territory?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is kind of part of what Critical Mass does as well.
Yeah.
I work just in New York, and I'm just, you know, again, I'm very motivated by getting the word out there about this brand, about this category. So, I mean, I do things for, like, I'll write recipes for things in Miami here. Like, there's no real border, although you may see me knocking on your door if you're a bartender in New York City.
Yeah. But you get to go anywhere. So are you the only ambassador in the United States for this company?
Until today, I think, or yesterday, we found somebody to work with us in Miami as well.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, so we're in Florida, New York, Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Massachusetts.
Great. It's good juice.
Yeah, it's really good.
We talked already. I'm pulling it onto the bar for spring and more.
Yay! Thanks.
We're going to do a stirred bitter Yawara cachaça drink.
Amazing. You're helping support a community.
Yeah, man. Well, I think that's what we all are, right?
Totally.
You know, there's obviously some blurry lines of nepotism sometimes, but I had already made this decision before you got this gig, so I don't blame that.
Well, thank you.
Full disclosure, I worked for Critical Mass for 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah, it was more than that. It was a long time.
I dropped out for a year of the thing.
Yeah.
So I think I was just there for two.
Yeah.
Whatever. Doesn't matter.
OG, though.
Yeah, you know.
First one.
I'm sure that she, Brittany had these made, I guess, right? You didn't make these.
I told her, I'm wearing
a ring right now that looks like a nut. Like a,
yeah, you know, hex nut.
Like a nut and a bolt, yeah. And inside it says OG B Team.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, I said that I wanted to do something really nice for the originals, and that was like Pam, Chris Lauder, Josh Perez, Karen Stanley, Rob Kruger. It was a small team, but it's just like still just legends. And it was a great honor and privilege to work with you guys every day. It was super cool. It just like the ideas that you guys came up with, just recipes. I've stolen ideas from you guys more times than I've, you know, admitted.
I don't mind. Just take it. It's fine. Well, cool, man. What's next on your docket then? You got a pretty loaded plate, it seems.
We're definitely looking at July in New Orleans. That's going to be a big time for us. But you know, we just try to do good work every day.
Did you not want to talk about MCC? We can skip it, but you said you're doing something for that too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We're doing the punch party.
Oh, that's part of it. Punch party. You never said MCC.
Yeah. We're working in conjunction with the festival. I know that there's a lot going on. There hasn't been a lot of information out about it, but it is happening. We are doing this event on May 14th, 4 to 8 p.m. at Pier A.
And the, cool. Tickets, open to the public?
Open to the public.
Tickets, gotta buy tickets.
Yeah, tickets should be available by next week.
Rad. Do you know where?
Pier A.
I mean, where are the tickets available?
Through the MCC website.
Yeah, do you know that site by any chance?
I believe it's ManhattanCocktailClassic.com.
Yeah, cool. So you can go to ManhattanCocktailClassic.com and get your tickets to the punch event at Pier A, hang out with Critical Mass and drink some punch.
Yeah, man, it's gonna be fun. You know, if anybody's gone to any parties that we produce, it's pretty mellow and just fun.
I think, you know, without being too without doing too much self-examination, I feel like you and I and people who get to be in this studio and on the air with Damon and I all the time, like, that's our job, right? Our job is fun. Mm-hmm. And we get to make people have fun with us.
Yeah, it's really important to not take this stuff too seriously.
Yeah, or not take this stuff too seriously, not take yourself too seriously. Let's just...
Yep, we're not saving the manatees here. Everything's going to be fine.
Yeah. We get one go.
Yeah.
Let's have a good time. What are you doing at Tails in New Orleans?
I can't speak about yet. But there's, you know, anybody who's been to Tails knows that there's a lot of over-the-top stuff. We hope to be a part of a few of the way, way, way over-the-top stuff.
Cool.
That's going on down there.
Awesome. Not sure if I'm going to be able to make it this year, but I'm going to Tails Scotland this week. I leave on the 1st. I'm going to Edinburgh. A Christmas gift.
That is so awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about that. It's Edinburgh by itself is just amazing.
Have you been?
Yeah.
I've never been.
Yeah, it's cool. It's where all the there's a few distilleries there that make single malts, but from what I understand about Edinburgh, it's where a lot of components of blends are made. But Auchentoshan is there.
Yeah, of course. I'm gonna check out a few distilleries. Go play some golf, maybe.
Yeah,
like golfing in Scotland. Like that's gotta do that, right?
Yeah. The last time I was in Scotland, I think was. Well, I had a job and I didn't get out of the hotel for a week. But before that, I went with Jonathan Pogash and Hal Woolen. We just had a blast. We just drove around and Pogash knows how to drive on the right side of the road, which is odd, or on the left side.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, he did a great job. So if you're there and he's there, you know, maybe he should drive.
I'll be fine. I don't drive anywhere anymore. I leave that to other people. Well, dude, it's been great having you on the show today. And I'm, you know, excited about May 14th, the punch on the Pier A, right there next to Blacktail and all that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool to hear about what you're doing with Jaguara Cachaça, and also very, very happy to hear that I didn't realize your company was that old, man.
Yeah, man.
I mean, that means you're turning 7 this year?
We turned 6 on October 10th, September 10th,
so
October
10th. You'll be 7 this year.
We'll be 7 this year, yeah.
That's crazy. I had no idea. I thought it was, I mean... I'm that kind of guy. Sometimes I forget that anything's going on around me. I just think I'm the center of everything. So when you hired me, I was like, oh, this guy's starting up this little company. I'll work with him today.
Yeah, we're like...
I'll give him a hand.
We're slightly older than Amor Yamargo.
That's what I'm... But also, I didn't really realize how old I was. So
yeah.
Like that, it snuck up on me.
No. I think Critical Mass started when Amor Yamargo was a Cuban sandwich shop.
Right. Yeah, back when it was Cartales.
Yeah, that place is dope, though. Yeah. I love Cartales.
Yeah, you also loved Benny's burritos,
and also Roberta's. So let's put this in context here. I like nice things.
All right. Well, we've had Jason Luttrell on the show today from Critical Mass. If someone was listening and wanted to, you know, a brand or whatever, wanted to get in touch with you, where do they reach out? CriticalMass.com? What do you got?
Our website is CriticalMass.com.
There you go.
It's CRTCLMSS. It's Critical Mass without the vowels.
Oh, got it.
But just Google us. We're easy to find. My email address is Jason, Jason, at CRTCLMSS.com.
Critical Mass without the vowels.
Yep.
Got it. Great having you on today. If you like this show, tune into Heritage Radio Network to listen to thousands more just like it. Please donate to heritageradionetwork.org/donate to help keep the station alive and keep shows just like this on the air. Thanks so much for joining us today. Cheers, buddy.
Thank you. Cheers.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.